So you want to make a change in your career to find something with purpose, but you got some reservations. It's a scary thing. We're going to tell you how you can make that happen in your life on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic, Isaac Shapiro. Isaac, what's going on?
Hello, hello. Good to see you again.
And my guesser, Mike, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Evan.
You guys are also the co-founders, co-CEOs of the Inspiration Foundation, which is an amazing initiative where the goal is to increase employment for people with disabilities by 10%. One of the things I want to talk about today is how you guys and people in general go from recognizing your purpose and that you want to make a change in your life. For me, when my daughter was born, I knew that I had to make a change. I was working for TMZ at the time. It was a job where I was in the office around 5 o'clock every morning. I was leaving around 6 o'clock at night. It was an hour drive home. I was in the office before she woke up. I was coming home around the time she was going to bed. I was missing moments. I was stressed out. You heard my story on the previous episode. But one of the things that I've been getting a lot of feedback about from people, and I want to discuss with you guys, is how do you make that change? Once you realize that your current situation isn't really tenable and there's a higher purpose that you want to pursue, a change that you want to make in your life, how do you go about doing that in an effective way? It's easy when, you know, you're in a situation where you have a lot of money maybe, or you have, you know, backing and stability and stuff like that. It's a lot harder when you don't, when, you know, the finances are a little more tight, and you kind of have to weigh, there's a scale almost, right? And it's like my happiness and quality of life versus, you know, being able to make a salary and provide for my family. And sometimes people get really focused on the financial piece of it and say, look, I really want to be doing something that provides my life more purpose, but I'm not really sure if I can do it in an effective way where I'm, you know, putting my family at risk or something like that. Right. And I know it's been a conversation I've been having with a lot of people who have reached out and said, I'm inspired. I want to do something. I want to make a change. I don't know how to do it. So I kind of wanted to lead that conversation with you guys today because, you know, with Clean Logic, it was a company, you know, you guys became business partners, what, 20, 25 years ago?
Almost 25 years.
Yeah. And you guys have each had pretty incredible journeys, right? Isaac, for you, it was when you started this company involving a way to really connect with the visually impaired community. Your mom has been blind since the age of 7. It was really important for you to have a component of your business that, acknowledges and makes life easier for people with visual disabilities. That's why you guys put Braille in your packaging. Mike, in your situation, about 10 years into your partnership with Isaac, after you got your business going and you guys were achieving success and growing, you had a very similar situation to me where you had a daughter who was medically complex. And I know from personal experience that it really does make a tremendous impact in your life and your routine. So I guess my first question is, when you are struck by this, this feeling like I need to make a change, I need to do something, the way I've been operating isn't going to work moving forward. What's the first step once that happens?
Yeah, well, it's been for me, it was my junior year in college. And like I said, in the first episode, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was getting ready to do internships. And it was that moment where I watched my mom for many years, you know, build this tech training program. I thought I wanted to give back, you know, wanted to do business. But it was that moment of when she was like, you know, where basically she had to walk away from this tech training program because they weren't, that just wasn't working at this point and it wasn't sustainable in what they were paying her. It was like that wake up moment of like, I'm going to do something about it. So I feel like there's those emotional pieces that, you know, and speaking for myself personally, it was growing up with a mom with a disability and watching that and wanting to be what she did and giving back. But I think it was like that moment that just pushed me, you know, over the edge of like, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. And, you know, even when we were back then just starting and thinking about Braille and starting the foundation, we didn't think how big it would be. You have a vision with it, but the impact that it has or where it evolves. So I think it's those inflection points of something that hit you personally and you want to do something about it. And then I think the other part, because I give you a lot of credit, Evan, you know, Mike and I were in our 20s when we did this. So when I was doing this in colleges, I already was eating ramen. You know, Mike and I were literally living off like $5 a day. We could go to the dollar store.
Sometimes get, less.
Yeah. And, you know, it would be dollar store. We'd get like, you know, dollar tuna or Trader Joe's had these amazing, you remember those curry tuna?
It was so good.
For a buck. It was so good. And we would eat that all the time. And so we didn't have a family to take care of. We had us and, you know, those are the fun days to look back. So I think when you're thinking about it with, as an adult, you know, you got a mortgage and children, that's where like, I really have a lot of respect because for me, it was early on. And I always wonder, would I have done this 20 years later, knowing if I now having my kids? So that's why I love to encourage people that have children and have a family. It is scary, but you can make it happen.
So Mike, that's, you know, taking piggybacking off of what Isaac just said, like, so you know, you were well into this business with Isaac when your daughter was born. When you, because I know this happened to me too. So I'm telling you, I'm kind of using my own experience to kind of ask you these questions, but like, there had to have been a moment where you realized, okay, this child, you know, the ideas that I had in my head for how this was going to work and how I was going to continue to do my job and my wife was going to continue to do her job and all that stuff. Like, my wife and I had it all planned out. We were like, oh, this is going to be great. We'll just, you know, I'll keep my job. My wife was an executive producer on reality television shows. She, at the time that my daughter was born, she was co-executive producer of The Real Housewives of Dallas. And she had a booming career. And so we were just like, okay, well, it'll be fine. Like, we'll, you know, maybe she'll take a couple less jobs per year and we'll hire some help and I'll keep doing this. And then all of a sudden Sydney's born. And there was a moment where, you know, after she got home from the NICU 4.5 months, where I was like, okay, this is all the things that we had planned. Like, nope, all of that out the window. My wife actually left the industry for several years. And then I was in a situation where I left that job. I left my job at TMZ several years later, but it was a process for me to get to that point. For you, when your daughter was born and you realized that it wasn't a typical birth and your life was going to be more challenging than maybe you had expected, like, how did you, what was your thought process at the time in terms of like how you were going to approach your career moving forward with, you know, after the birth of your daughter?
I've always had this belief that there are certain moments in your life that completely change you and change your decision-making abilities and capabilities, right? And for me, one of them was when I was married. I had this realization right then and there, like, it is definitely not just about me anymore. And I needed to make more responsible decisions. And then when my daughter was born, or when I knew I was going to be a parent, it was times 1,000, right? And then when she was born and we found out that she was going to be disabled, it was exponential, right? And so I think, you know, I was, you know, over 10 years into working with Isaac at Clean Logic, we had a business it wasn't big by any means at the time, and we were still not making a lot of money, but we were okay. But for me, it was this fire that kind of like changed the way that I operated, and risk became a little bit lower as far as, you know, decision making. But it also gave, like, you know, I don't know how to describe it in any other sense than just like fire and strength to go and grow and build and support, because I don't know. I never knew what one day to the next was going to be like for my daughter. And I remember having to, like, there's different equipment and there's different therapies and there's all these different things that you just never, you don't know. You just don't know, unless it's your second kid that's disabled, then you're already doing it. And even then, you know, every kid is different. But for me, it was just it became a different way to choose, to make choices, and they were better. And it was a different work ethic. And I had previously thought that I worked pretty hard. This was just now, you know, a more, I guess you could say, mature approach to this kind of thing. And I think it served me and the company and my daughter and my family well, but it was just a lot of unknowns. And the other thing I would add is, like, you need to be self-aware. You need to know what you can do, what you can't do. And you always have to take a step and another step and another step. And you have to be self-aware that you have the ability and the desire and the power to continue moving forward, no matter how hard you get knocked down.
Did you have a conversation with Isaac at any point where you guys were talking, you know, would talk about, hey, look, I have this fire and I have this passion and I feel reinvigorated and all this stuff. But at the same time, my life and the circumstances around my life have changed dramatically. And I guess my question is, did you have like a formal conversation when you kind of laid it out? Or was it one of those things where Isaac kind of understood and what was understood didn't really need to be said?
I don't think so. But I think, to be honest, I didn't really understand what my daughter's disability meant, because for many years she was a baby and I looked at it as she's just hitting milestones slower than everybody else was. And I think when she was like 18 months old, when she was in early intervention, and I started to see her surrounded by kids who were more disabled than she was, that's when I realized my life is a little bit different now. And so I don't know if I ever needed to say, hey, Isaac, I have a situation or I have a problem. But I always remember when we were starting the Inspiration Foundation, and at the time we were donating adaptive technology, always in the back of my mind, it was like, why don't we create jobs for people? Why can't we create jobs for people? So I had always had that. And I think when we moved the business from Los Angeles to Philadelphia, I saw the reality. And that's when we all got together and made it a reality and started having conversations about that. And that's the evolution of Clean Logic today. Does that sound right to you, Isaac?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, and I know we had some conversations with Brady, and he had talked about, like, you know, his partner not having same thing.
Brady Crandall, the CEO and founder of Youth Cruise Diapers.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had our conversation with Brady of Youth Cruise Diapers. He talked a little bit about with his partner and, you know, not wanting to let him down and, you know, understanding. So if I were to look back and say, I think I already had an understanding, right? Like Mike had said. But I thought what was interesting is last summer we went on vacation. Last year we brought our kids together at the Jersey Shore. So it was my first kind of Jersey Shore with my kids.
Did you see
coasters? Yeah, didn't see Snooki, but, you know, coming from the West Coast to the East Coast, you know, the Jersey Shore, you always heard about that from Snooki. So
sure.
that's where I always think about the Jersey Shore. But it was a really interesting time because I got to see a lot more of the personal side. It's not that I've not been to Mike's house, sure, but it was like an hour or two, but we spent a couple of days together. And I just thought it was like amazing to watch the relationship that Mike actually really has with his daughter. You know, where they're at the beach and they're spending time together by the water. And I was thinking, I'm like, wow. And I got to see what Mike's true life is at home. Cause again, maybe I spend the night at his house. It's quick, but I didn't get to see the full thing. And that's the part where I'm like, ah, I wish actually Mike brought that more to me. Maybe I would have a little bit more understanding earlier on, because
yeah.
I didn't understand. I was still single, you know, pushing hard, working crazy hours. And Mike used to always say, you need to get married and you make better decisions. And I still tell him to this day, it was one of the best things he told me in advice. Because once you become a father, once you become a husband, your decision making, and I wish, if I were to say anything, like, I wish I knew more about those moments, or I wish I saw more of that, because it gave me such appreciation of
yeah.
Mike has so much more that he has to do at home and think about that I just never thought about, because Mike yeah. is just a guy that's not going to tell you a lot of like personal. He just is going to get it done. And
yeah.
so any advice for partners, especially if you have a disabled child, like open up about it, talk about it. And because that opened up a lot of my eyes, even though I knew a lot about it with Mike.
Yeah. Well, I want to, when we come back from break, I want to talk about boundary setting in the workplace, because I think that's something that a lot of people in our position, parents of kids with disabilities, or even parents in general, and also people without kids, like boundary setting is really important. And I think that we need to have that conversation when we come back on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. We're talking about boundary setting at work. I know for me, there was always a fear of going to my bosses and saying like, hey man, like I need to block out this and this because I have obligations with my kid that, you know, I can't really allow work to intrude on, right? We're talking about doctor's appointments. We're talking about physical therapy things. We're talking about just spending quality time with your kids. And for people who don't have kids, there are, you know, all sorts of other things, family moments, personal moments, boundaries. And there are a lot of people who are afraid to address these boundaries, the boundaries set with their employers, with their bosses, coworkers, whatever, because they're afraid of what the blowback could be, right? Of like, oh, like I've seen this. And one of the jobs that I've had, I watched a person who had kids. I had been to this company for a long time. And then when he had kids and he started trying to set boundaries, there was definitely negative repercussions that came with that. One of the people who was a superior to this guy didn't love the fact that he wasn't as available post kids as he was before kids. And he didn't understand why this person had been setting those boundaries and why it was important for this person to set the boundaries. And there was animosity that grew. And I remember as I was watching that, I would think like, oh man, like that's tough. Like just, you know, I was torn. Part of me was like, you can't let your kids get in the way from doing the job that you're supposed to do. And then post-kid Evan is basically like, no, you've got to set those boundaries because work isn't your entire life. It's just a part of your life. And then where is the balance? How do you get that balance? So after I left TMZ, every job that I've taken since, I always tell people before I take a job, like what my family and life situation is. I want to be very upfront about everything from the beginning. And if it's not going to work for them, then it's not going to work for me. And I'd rather be open and transparent about it. So whenever I talk to people about jobs or anything like that, I'm always like, look, just so you know, I have a daughter who's, you know, has severe disabilities and she requires a lot of my attention. And traveling for long periods of time, out of the question. You know, if their job requires travel, like I can talk about it, but I can't be leaving for long stretches of time. I can't be going to other countries around the world for like long periods of time because something happens with my daughter. I need to be able to be home and be available like very quickly. So that for me, part of my boundary setting that I like to do with people. But then also, you know, I know some people aren't as comfortable talking about their kids with people at work. For me, my personal experience, I have found that the more open and transparent I am about my personal life, the more people know about my life, the more flexible they are and the more understanding they are. So I always try to tell people straight up. It's part of the reason I talk so publicly about my daughter. Also, I'm very proud of her, but also like, so people understand, like, it's not, if I can't take your call at a particular time, it's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's just that like, my daughter is my purpose and my primary, you know, the most important thing in my life. And, you know, I can't let stupid conversations that can wait an hour, 20 minutes a day get in the way of me spending quality time with my kid or being at important doctor's appointments with my kid and stuff like that. Now, as you guys run this wildly successful international multi-million dollar company now, have you, as you know, coming from the management perspective on this, what advice would you have for people who are in a similar situation, who have kids, who have something going on, and want to approach their bosses or superior about like, hey, right now the balance is off and I've got to figure out a way to kind of boundary set. What advice would you guys have for those people as, you know, CEOs of a company?
So I think it's a great question. I think it's a great topic. I think it's super, super important. So I think with anybody, you know, if you're an employee or you're an employer, I think it's super, super important to align on values, right? So if you're somebody that's looking for a job, you want to find a job at a place that has very similar values or the same values that you have. Otherwise, you're going to run into problems. And I think to your point, Evan, you're upfront about it in the beginning. I think there's nothing wrong with that because if you're not aligned, it's never going to be the right fit. If you can identify and ask the questions like, what are the company's core values? Because like, I don't know a lot of times where companies will say, here are our core values and here's what we believe in and here's how we treat right off the bat. Usually questions come out to the person first, but it's super important to identify those because that's when you know what you like, how you align, what you can be comfortable with, what they're going to accept or not accept. There's some company, there's nothing wrong with having misaligned values. It's just not a match. So when you can identify that first, that's when you'll know, is this the right fit? Can you prioritize your family and not have to worry about any pushback or anything like that? And it's unfortunate that that exists today in certain companies, but it does. And I don't think it's because people are necessarily bad people. I just think it's a misalignment of values and culture and behaviors that are acceptable to people on both sides. So I think the faster you identify that, the better it's going to be.
I think I'm going to look at it from not the parent side. I'm going to look at it from the employer side. We got a labor shortage in the U.S. It's hard to find employees. You got to start being flexible. And I'm even going to just start without disabilities. I think I've heard this conversation for like 15 years. Those millennials, they don't work. Well, they're our workforce today. They're the leaders. They're the ones that are growing now today. You know, now you're talking Gen Z and different generations. So I always laugh about the millennials. Like now today, I was that guy, Mike. What do you mean you got to work less? What do you mean you got a daughter? We got to keep working and driving because, again, I was a single guy and, you know, Mike now had a family and I didn't understand that. But now as like a leader and seeing what's going on at my own family, even if I didn't have a family, I don't know if I'm going to have that ability to hire people, great people, because you got to change that mindset. You know, you got to give purpose in the workplace environment, especially for the younger generation. So you're really not just changing your way for parents that have disabilities. I think it's where the younger generation is going. And I can say, I actually think the millennials have it figured out because everybody that I've talked to in the boomer generation, now that I've got a 1 and 3 year old, they're telling me, Isaac, live, be present. Don't think that those jobs and those events that you got to go away from your kids, you know, basketball event or Halloween, they're not worth it. Because when I look back, it didn't advance my career that one moment. So I think we're at this place and inflection of like, we do got to put people first and working 80, 90 hours a week is not always going to win. And it's tough because look at our sports culture. I came from a top 25 football program. We were in the gym 6 a.m. We were doing this. It was like, we were spending 10 hours a day in a high school football program because we got to win. So I think the balance now is how can you win? How can you make time and be present? Because that's what's going to bring a happy workforce and bring culture. And then you've got people that want to come to work and you give them purpose. Because again, I know not everybody is going to have purpose to go start a business, but it's got to feel good to go to work and know that you're working for an employer that has purpose, that gives you purpose. So I think it's just a really fun time because I've watched this for so many years of my friends older be like, oh, you young people don't work hard enough. And you don't want to do this. But it's changed and I'm excited for where it's going today.
I don't want to say never, ever, ever, but I think now knowing what I've learned, and again, I don't own a company. I work for people, but I don't think I would take a job working for somebody who doesn't have kids. I think that as, you know, in my situation, I require so much understanding, right? And I think that I'm not saying it's impossible. And again, I'm not saying never, ever, ever, but my experience working for people who don't have kids, and also when I was a manager and I didn't have kids, just from my own experience, I felt it was much more difficult for me to completely understand someone's situation at home versus now, where I'm in arguably one of the most difficult situations as a parent. You have like a severely disabled kid who is nonverbal and is in the doctor all the time and stuff like that. So I have a demanding job as a parent. I think that I would need to take a job for somebody that could empathize with that in a way where, like, look, if something comes up, and this happens all the time, like I almost today, for example, I got a text from school that, you know, Sydney, my daughter, was having some breathing issues and that I might have to come pick her up. And, you know, I feel like you guys know me, you know my situation, you understand. It would have been great to call, you know, it would, when I've been great, it would have been, I would have been scared to call you guys up and say, like, I know we plan on this, but like, I have a medical emergency right now and I'm so sorry. And you guys would be understanding and we'd figure out a way to like make this up and do it again. Where I feel like, I'll use myself as an example. When I was young and I didn't have kids and I was just so laser focused on accomplishing the task at hand, that something like that would have annoyed me. And I would have been like, you know, upset about it. And, you know, it would have rubbed me the wrong way. And I feel like I can't put myself in a situation moving forward where I'm working for somebody like the way I was. I need to work for somebody who is the way I am now, who could be more understanding. And so I know it's a component of what we're talking about here, which is boundaries and setting yourself up and all that stuff. Look, if you're out there and you see an opportunity for you to make a change in your life, it's not easy. You know, there's going to be sacrifices you're going to have to make. I know for me and my family, like when I was deciding to leave TMZ, like I had a whole, you know, first of all, it was a conversation that had been happening for a while, but the thing that really helped me make my decision was, you know, Sam, my wife, it was like, look, we're going to figure out a way to make this work together. This is important for you to leave this job and to find something else. So we're going to figure out a way to make it work. We moved, right? So we moved to a smaller house. So we were able to save money there. We made some sacrifices. You know, we took a look at a budget and decided what, you know, we can cut and stuff like that. And we made some sacrifices. But it was more important for us, for me, to leave that job and find something else than it was to stick around just for the paycheck. And I can say for me, it worked out. And like the point of the show, like I feel like I'm pursuing projects that make me feel like it's my purpose. It's something that it makes me proud. I'm working with people that I like. I'm doing projects that I feel help people. I have more time, more quality time with my family and my friends. And for me, it's been an amazing decision. But it's not just something where you snap your fingers and all of a sudden it's rainbows and sunshine all the time. It's
well,
hard.
Evan, I think because, you know, the last time I looked for a job, you know, was senior year in college when I was working on things. So tell the audience here, like, what, how do you get over, or let me reword it here, and I'm starting this one, sorry. So Evan, tell us and give advice to our audience here, like, how do you go looking for an employer? Because not everybody's going to go out and be able to find purpose in life. And I know Mike had mentioned aligning values, but you've been there. You have friends. Like, give us the real life perspective of like, what can you do to help? Because not everybody's going to go out, be out and leave. And, you know, some families work, you know, both sure. parents work. So talk to us about that.
Sure. So if you have a partner, obviously you want to have, you know, those real serious conversations with your partner about, you know, game plan it out, come up with the plan. Don't just shoot first, ask questions later kind of thing. It's hard because a lot of people will, you know, do some drastic move, quit their job. And then they're like, oh no, what do I do now? I don't have it figured out yet. Look, that works out for some people. That's just not my advice. My advice is, you know, for me, it was a process. My wife and I had talked about it for months before we made the decision. We had had those real deep conversations. We had gone through our finances. We had come up with a real plan. And then it's a gamble, right? Like, you hope that whatever job that you move into next or whatever gamble you take with your career, it works out. But there's no guarantee it's going to work out. I know for me, you know, I did a couple jobs after I left TMZ that were some of them were great. Like I said, I worked for Dana White in UFC. That was amazing. It was an incredible job. There were some other companies that I won't mention that I worked for, and it wasn't great. One company folded and they still owe me a lot of money. And that sucks because when you are counting on a paycheck and it doesn't come, you're just like, oh my God, now what? Another company, I had signed a 2-year contract with, and that company was falling apart, and I ended up leaving after about 4.5-5 months. But thankfully, my wife and I, when we came up with our plan, we had kind of factored in like, okay, if this doesn't work out and this doesn't work out, like, we're still going to be okay. And then I just, you know, you just got to stay at it and keep talking to people and you'll find a fit. Like, and again, every time I would interview or talk to people at a job, like, I was always very forthcoming about what my expectations were, just as much as the company would be in what their expectations were. And if it worked out and if it was a good fit, then great. Then I would take the job, and most of the time it worked out. But I guess my advice isn't really advice. It's more of just like the lesson is that, like, think it through. I'm not saying don't do it, like, pursue what you think is going to make you happy and make your life better, but really think it through and do the work to figure out, like, what it's going to take for you to make this change successfully. Because the more thought you put into it, I mean, I know that some people say, like, oh, if you overthink it, you can scare yourself out of it. But don't let that happen. Don't be scared away. Overthink it, but figure out a way to come up with the solution instead of just being like, ah, this is too scary, I'm out. For example, if you're in a job right now that's demanding and you want to try to change your career, volunteering on the weekends is always a good thing. If there's a particular thing that you want to get involved in, whether it's volunteering at a hospital or with an organization or with a group, just starting to show up and ask how I can help and starting to kind of get familiar with that organization is a good way to kind of bridge yourself out of your current situation without too much risk. People always love free work and volunteers. So if, you know, if you think that your purpose is volunteering at a hospital, working with kids, doing something in a different place, ask, hey, how can I contribute? Meet some people there. Start going and talking to people and figuring out ways that you can get involved and testing it out and seeing if it's a good fit before you make the leap. Test it out. But, you know, it's, what am I ultimately trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is it's not easy. It has been very rewarding for me. I encourage people to pursue their passion. That's why we're doing this show, because we're hearing from all different people who have taken all sorts of different paths to get to where they are. And if my story doesn't resonate with you, maybe some of the other people that we have on the show will. So continue to listen. And by the way, we welcome your feedback too. If you have questions, comments, if you want to, you know, get involved, engage with us, absolutely do it in the comments. We're reading the comments. We're listening to you, and we want to, you know, be able to help you do whatever it is that you're looking to accomplish.
Yeah. And I think, Evan, to close with that, I think the biggest advice is what we all talk about as kids. Honesty is the best path, right? So I think being upfront with your employer and putting that out front, I think is going to be important, because in both of you can find out, because not every employer is going to be like us you know, they might be that single person that's the driver that wants you work in 90 hours, and maybe that worked for the other person. But I like that you're talking about the honesty, being upfront, because I think that's what's going to create that flexibility as a parent, and trying to be flexible and trying to, you know, fit those doctor appointments and everything. So I think that's a really big, easy advice right there.
Yeah.
And my hope is that this show reaches enough employers and job seekers that's going to open up people's minds to where any conversation, authenticity, vulnerability, and being upfront about what your situation is makes that conversation easier to have right off the bat, which ultimately is going to lead to a more, you know, an easier working situation in life for everybody involved on both sides.
That's right. I mean, all we're trying to do is provide for our families, right? And you know, we want to be good employees. We want to help the companies. And then we want the companies to provide us with, you know, enough financial support that we can all live happy, good, fulfilling lives. Like, that's the goal, right? So if you're listening out there, I hope you find that. Anyway, that's going to do it for our show today, Driven by Purpose. Do me a favor. If you like the show, and I know you love the show because it's great, subscribe, follow us on all the social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, X-Face, whatever Bill Belichick used to call it. And share it. Tell a friend. We really appreciate it. So that's going to do it for us here. We will see you on the next episode of Driven by Purpose. See you next time.
See ya.
See ya.